Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ, California, and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series, Obeying God's Vision, that is looking at the book of Daniel. Last week, we learned some characteristics from Daniel's life that can help our high school graduates as well as us as we face this life and the difficulties that come with it. We'll be in chapter 3 this morning to look at the famous story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. They were faced with the most difficult decision, obey the king and bow to an idol, or obey their God and face certain death in the fiery furnace. We know how the story ends, but there are things we can take from this story when we face the fiery furnace of life. Satan tried to get Jesus to bow to him. He does the same thing with us when he makes us choose between godly things and worldly things. I look forward to going through this story this Sunday morning and seeing the great things that it has in store for us. May God bless and keep you, and may his face shine upon you, and thank you for listening.
Come, worship the God who is our refuge and our strength in times of weakness.
We trust God to lead and guide us always.
Like Christ, we are confident to commit our spirit into your hands, O God.
For you deliver us from our fears and doubts.
Let your face shine upon us, O God, and may your saving and steadfast love surround us. Let us worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our first hymn this morning is To God Be the Glory, and we pray that the lives of our graduates are a glory to God as well.
Our senior choir sings Someone Is There.
He knows the plan, he knows the grand design.
Becky Snyder reads the morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon on this high school senior graduation recognition Sunday. His sermon is entitled Obeying God's Vision, Daniel and His Friends.
Good morning. Priest, please join me in the prayer for illumination. God, source of all light, by your word you give light to the soul. Pour out upon us the spirit of wisdom and understanding that, being taught by you, Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be open to know the things that pertain to life and holiness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning's first lesson comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 15 through 23. The Lord, the God of their ancestors, sent word to them through this messengers again and again, because he had pity on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked God's messengers, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people and there was no remedy. He brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary and did not spare young men or young women, the elderly or the infirm. God gave them all into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylonian all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple and the treasures of the king and his officials. They set fire to God's temple and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all of the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his successors until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. All the time of its desolation it rested, until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved to the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation through his realm and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says: The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up, and may the Lord their God be with them. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Here ends the second lesson.
Thank you. It's a great day to be with everybody here this morning, especially our graduates today. But this is a day of graduation, all right? Well, it's a special day, all right? Class of 2025, and it's a day that we celebrate, and we're going to be going through the book of Daniel. We started it a couple weeks ago, but I think there's lessons from the book of Daniel that's going to help our graduates today. It sounds a lot like the story of Joseph, a man that's taken from his home, taken into captivity, and ascends to the highest levels of power. We see that they call the book of Daniel the revelation of the Old Testament. Because you see, Daniel, the first six chapters are biographical. Some of the famous stories that you guys have heard since Sunday school, all right? You've heard about Daniel in the lion's den, you know, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the writing on the wall, all those different things. And then the last six chapters deal with visions. deal with the future, deal with immediate visions, and then ones into the future. And they sound a lot like Revelation chapter 20, chapter 12 does. And a lot of you, I think, can identify with Daniel, because you'll see here that these guys, just as Becky read, they are taken from their home. They leave their home. They go far away, and they spend the rest of their life away from their home, learning different cultures and different ideas. As many of you are going to go into different places, different college campuses. Some of you might go into the workforce. I know one of you is going far away. You're going all the way up to North Dakota or South Dakota? South Dakota. Not as far away, but still far enough, isn't it, for your folks? All right. But you're going away. Some are going to go to big campuses. Some are going to go to small campuses. Some of you may not get too far away from home. You may come back here and live. But when we look at the book of Daniel, think about how would you write a book about your life? The highs and the lows. You guys are just starting that book. You're completing one of the first chapters of that book. We're going to look at Daniel chapter 1 today, and I hope you'll take four things away from it that helps you as you step off into the future. Let's read the first seven verses of Daniel chapter 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasurer's house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them daily amounts of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. We see first thing off here that these four gentlemen were being taken away from their home, and they were leaving and being taught for 3 years. Some of you are going to go away and go to college maybe for 4 years, 5 years if you go to graduate school and further beyond. But they had been taken out of what was familiar to them and taken to an unfamiliar land. And the lesson we learn from that is that your future may not go the way that you plan. You've got plans now. You've got colleges that you're looking into. You've got thoughts about maybe what degree or what profession that you're going to pursue. But your future may not go the way that you plan. Just as Daniel and his friends, they had hopes that they would grow up in Jerusalem like their family. Their father and ancestors were the king. They were royalty. They were used to living in luxury. And now they were taken into captivity thousands of miles away, away from everything familiar. And the Babylonians were trying to wipe away everything that would have been familiar to them. They're trying to wipe away their culture, trying to wipe away their faith, trying to wipe away any memories of their heritage, and to instill among them how important this was. They gave them new names, not just names that they liked, but names of the Babylonian gods. They wanted them to know for sure that they were in a new country and that their God could not help them anymore. When we get far away, sometimes it may seem that we are on our own, and the people that we love and that we care about are far away from us. But it's important for us to have strong Christian friends to be by our sides when we make those travels. We see Daniel and his friends were side by side when they made the decision to stand up to the king about the diet that they were being planned. But it's easier to stand up when you have people along your side. You've seen that with your friendships through high school. You guys have been through different endeavors. You've been through different adventures together. Now you're going off to different lands where you will separate from one another for a time period. And it'll be important for you to find good, strong Christian friends to be by your side. And God will provide those friends all along your way if you look for them, if you invest yourself in others. I've seen it every step of our journey. When Betty and I first got married and we moved to Cincinnati, far away from our home, and was reminded of this last night. My daughter Kelly stopped by and was asking Betty. She says, "Mom, how did you know Dad was the one?" I said, "Honey, look at me. Isn't it obvious?" She wasn't satisfied with that answer, and neither was Betty. But you don't know what you don't know when you go far away and you go into these adventures. But along the way, God has provided people to be our side. I remember the Soika family that lived right down the hall from us in our apartments. And I worked with Mike as we poured concrete and we did foundations. When we moved to Portland, Indiana, all the couples that were like second parents to us and people that we're still friends with today. When we moved back to Moberly, friends that we made through our Sunday school and our class are still longtime friends with us today. Even when we moved to Dallas in the same apartment complex with my Aunt Barbara, we had fellow tenants there that we drew close to. One of them's name was Dean, and made our time and our stay there encouraging and made it a place that we learned and valued others. Then we moved to Hallsville, spent 19 years there, and last night the wedding that I did up near Macon was for our behind the backyard neighbor. Ashley was not even born yet when we moved there. Their son Nathan and my daughter Kelly graduated high school together. And here we were 25 years later, standing together, watching their daughter Ashley marry her husband Dalton. God is going to provide you friends along the way if you invest in others. If you keep yourself, you know, to yourself and you don't look to invest in others, you're going to miss out on tremendous friendships and tremendous people around you that can give you lessons and wisdom and strength when you're in a brand new culture. Because sometimes your future is not going to go the way you planned. And you're going to need people to help you through those times, to help hold you up, to help guide you, to hold on to you when it seems like nothing is going right. Because sometimes things are not going to go the way you planned. But we see from Daniel here that they could make it because he had friends around him. But then we read later on that as you go along, each one of you has special gifts that you've been blessed with. And I've watched them and I've seen them in all the different endeavors that you guys have partaken in. And we see that it'll be important for you to give God praise for the gifts that he has blessed you with. Look at verses 17 through 20 in Daniel. Daniel and these four young men are blessed with certain gifts. It said, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. Did you catch that there? God gave. We'll come back to that. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them. This is kind of like their thesis defense. They were defending their study, having kind of their oral exam. And he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. We see later on in chapter 2, and Mike talked about this a couple weeks ago, we see the praise that Daniel gives for this gift. He recognizes that this gift was not of any of his own work and effort that God gave him this gift to be used. And he says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked of you, and you have made known to us the dream of the king. It's easy at this time of year to get wrapped up in that it's all about me. Well, all the cards have your names on them. All the money that you're getting, the high school diploma that you're going to get is going to have your name on it. This is your day, and everybody's going to praise you because of it. But it's easy to let pride take control and think it is all about me. Jesus tells a parable about a man that had a great crop and that we would all identify with here. He had a great harvest, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. I want you to count how many times in just one verse or two verses he mentions the word I. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I will store my surplus again, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat and drink and be merry. He was thinking about no one else. He was not giving God praise. But then God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. I expect great things out of each one of you because I've already seen great things. But don't let it ever overcome, pride overcome the thanksgiving that you need to give God for the gifts he's blessed you with. Solomon writes in Proverbs, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. You've been all blessed with great gifts. In fact, Paul tells us to pray for those gifts. Becky read about God gives all these gifts to us as He determines. And as you get older, your gifts may change a little bit. You may not be as fast and as quick as you were at this time right now, Brooks. You may then relay your wisdom later on if you're coaching or doing something like that. I can also see as you go into speaking and doing other things, Bennett, that you can relay that information onto others as you get older. Your gifts may change, but the idea that we give God praise for those gifts will never change. The third thing that we see from this chapter is that we need to be a person of daily prayer. We see in verses 8 and 9 that David is faced with a tough decision here, that he's been given this food that he doesn't want any part of because it's not holy to God. It's been offered to a sacrifice. But Daniel resolves not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asks the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. Why do you think that is? It's because Daniel was a man of prayer, regular prayer. Prayer is a muscle that needs to be exercised and used. It's not just to be used in times of crisis or times of emergency. It's as regular as eating and breathing and nourishment to our souls. We see in Daniel chapter 6, right before he is thrown into the lion's den, this is how David faces that critical time. Or Daniel faces that critical time. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help." There are going to be tough decisions along the way. What to do after you get done with your education, where to go, what job to take, maybe who to marry down the road, where to live. Maybe in your profession you may be with tough decisions, ethical decisions that you'll have to make. And if you're a regular person of prayer, you can go to God regularly and He will give you the insight needed to make those tough decisions. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Rejoice always and pray continually." It helps you overcome setbacks and losses. It gives you peace to potentially have to stand up to authority. Maybe you'll come across something that needs to be addressed, and it may cost you a scholarship, or it may cost you a position at some workplace. But you have to stand up like Daniel did. But it's easier to do when you're a person of regular prayer. Philippians 4 tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I encourage you now, if you're not already, and I know many of you are already, it's a regular part of your life, to make sure that you continue that, to help you through when you're far away and making those tough decisions or times of testing come, that you're a person of daily prayer. And then the final thing that you take with you is that the enemy might win a few battles. You might have some setbacks. You might have some failures. You might have some times that you feel like you've been defeated. But we need to remember that God wins the final victory. Look at verse chapter 12. This is probably my favorite chapter from the whole book of Daniel. I can't wait till we get there to finish it off. And I'm just going to read a little bit from the very end of it. Daniel had lived to the age of 100. He had gone through 4 different kings, 3 different cultures, Israel, Babylonians, and he ended up his life with the Persians. He had seen the rise and fall of kingdoms. He had seen people come and go, kings come and go. God had given him all these great abilities to give these great visions. He had one more question of God at the end of his life. He wanted to know what was going to happen next. He says, "I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" That's kind of your question, isn't it? It's our question a lot of times. How's it all going to end? Where am I going to end up? What does my future look like? He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." There's going to be times in your life you want an answer, and you're not going to get the answer that you want. And God is just going to say, go your way of faithfulness. Follow the path that I've set for. I've got a reward for you, but you won't experience that true reward until your life on this earth is ended. You're going to have failures and struggles. You're going to make some bad decisions. It happens. All of us in this room have made bad decisions. But it needs to be remembered by us. The enemy might win a few. The Satan might defeat us at different turns. But God has the final victory. The enemy is going to try to get you to abandon your belief and your positions. You're going to go off to different colleges and universities, and not everybody will have the same belief system that you've been raised with. I remember the summer school I went to, Lincoln University, after my freshman year of Bible college. A history class, sitting in the very back row of one of these theater classrooms. The class is full. The first thing the professor says of that first day of class of summer school at Lincoln is, the problem with the world today is Christians. I didn't like that answer. And I had all the, education of 1 year of college. I raised my hand and I said, sir, I think the problem with the world today is sin. And I listed a couple things. He was blaming all the things of history on Christianity. He slotted all the ones that he attributed to that. But you're going to face that. You may even face it from people that you might trust and think the same way. One of the first luncheons I had when I started the church here, I had with a group of retired UCC ministers at a restaurant in Columbia. They started having a discussion if Jesus was the only way to heaven. In their opinion, he wasn't. That if you're a Muslim, if you're a Jew or whatever, that Jesus was just one way to get to heaven. These were retired UCC ministers. I quoted John 14:6 to them. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I said, Jesus didn't stutter, and he was quite clear. And you would have thought that I'd thrown a smoke bomb off in the middle of that lunch, because then they all looked at me and said, you're not very tolerant. I said, Jesus was not tolerant of sin. If Jesus didn't die for all of us, he didn't die for any of us. And I said, by the way, we're called the United Church of Christ, not the United Church of anything and everything. There's going to be times when the enemy tries to back you off, tries to overwhelm you with their culture and environment, and overwhelm the foundation of faith that's been laid these last 12, 15 years. But the one thing the book of Daniel reaffirms to us, that there will be a time when our lives are judged. Today, you get one of those days. You get your diploma, you got your ribbons around you, you got your stole. It's a day that we celebrate you. And it's a day that you've been judged, that you're qualified now to leave California High School with the school's blessing and the community and the church's blessing. But there's going to come a time at the end of your life when you're going to be held accountable how you use the gift. And how faithful did you stay? Did you go your own way, the path that God laid out for you? Daniel served those four kings. They tried to wipe his memory away of his religious background and his faith, but he didn't let it take any of that away, and he stayed faithful till the end. That's my challenge to you today, to stay faithful, to go your way, to go the way that God has laid out for you, and that together we can receive that reward one day and see the great things that God has done for you. So congratulations today. It's an exciting day. And maybe 41 years from now, you'll be telling these stories to your children and your grandchildren for the great things that God has done in your life.
Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ, California, and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person, or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series, Obeying God's Vision, that is looking at the book of Daniel. Last week, we learned some characteristics from Daniel's life that can help our high school graduates as well as us as we face this life and the difficulties that come with it. We'll be in chapter 3 this morning to look at the famous story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. They were faced with the most difficult decision, obey the king and bow to an idol, or obey their God and face certain death in the fiery furnace. We know how the story ends, but there are things we can take from this story when we face the fiery furnace of life. Satan tried to get Jesus to bow to him. He does the same thing with us when he makes us choose between godly things and worldly things. I look forward to going through this story this Sunday morning and seeing the great things that it has in store for us. May God bless and keep you, and may his face shine upon you, and thank you for listening.